And good morning. Welcome to In Focus on a Monday. And typically here, this time of the month, we get some historical perspective. Cheryl Collins with the Riley County Historical Society and the museum is joining us. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. This is always a fascinating time because, you know, there are so many of our listeners that certainly appreciate getting to know more and more about the history of the area and Riley County. And we have another guest joining us here. And how fortunate are we to get Dr. Stephen Smethers here? Dr. Smethers, is it the director? Is that your position of the A.Q. Miller School of Journalism now?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to have you on here this morning. And Steve and I go way back to the old Aggie Station days. We're not going to tell any Aggie Station stories today, Steve. I know how much you're dying to do that.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Not for radio.
but Aggieville bars would be a good topic for
That would be.
It really would be. It really would be. So many people can identify with it.
Yeah.
I always tell Aggieville merchants, you're not selling drinks, you're selling nostalgia down here. They agree with me.
And there's a lot of truth to that. Well, our topic today is newspapers in the area. And, you know, we haven't really had much prep time to talk about this, Cheryl, but there have been a lot of newspapers. And right now, what do we have? Two in Riley County?
And, yes, and that's pretty common. We normally had three or four or even more.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the first newspapers. How far back are we going to go today?
Well, the first newspaper in town came in 1859, and it was actually recruited. The Manhattan Town Association promised Charles D. Vivaldi $1,500 in Manhattan stock if he would bring his printing press from Wyandotte County to Manhattan to publish a paper. And $1,500 in 1859 was quite a lot of money, which DeVivaldi did. And the paper was first called the Kansas Express, and then it became the Western Kansas Express, and then finally the Manhattan Express. DeVivaldi didn't pan out too good. He got real involved in Republican politics. And again, that's something we can talk a little bit about, is how newspapers, especially in those early days, were highly identified with a particular political brand. And eventually DeVivaldi went to Brazil as the consul. And then he has a really checkered career. He started out as a priest, he married, then came to Kansas. Then he went to Brazil and, a consul position. He left his family and went back to the priesthood and was a missionary. So he was an interesting guy. And I think that's really typical of those early editors. Quite often they were highly colorful characters.
The founding of the Kansas Express, does this have any kind of connection with an abolitionist movement?
Well, yes. Yes, absolutely. Because DeVivaldi was very active in that Republican free state movement. And that's one of the things that I think is really typical of those early papers is they were promoting issues, places. That's why the Manhattan Town Association wanted a newspaper here, is because they used it to promote their town and get people to move here and put in businesses and so on.
And that was just 4 years after Manhattan was founded.
Yes, and they would have loved to have had a newspaper sooner, but they couldn't get it. Obviously, they had to resort to offering money. And of course, that is based on economics. There weren't too many stores here advertising and so on.
Cheryl, do you have some perspective on what some of the headlines were in the first edition to the Kansas Express in Manhattan?
Oh, I'll have to go back and look that up. I'm certain they were talking about it now. I mean, it was quite a lot of it, national news, with some columns of local news, who was eating with who, those sorts of things. And then very pointed editorials in a section. And I think this role of the community, the newspaper in a community, has kind of evolved over time. And I don't know, Steve, you may have some perspectives on that.
You know, one of the things, Dave, that I think is so important to remember is that Manhattan was founded as an abolitionist community. What became K-State, Bluemont College, was founded as an abolitionist college. And there were people from the East Coast who at that time, I suppose today we would call them liberals, but they came from the East Coast who had this idea that slavery was wrong and it had to be fought at any price. And so you have to stop and think about the fervent atmosphere that there was to be able to get to Kansas and stop this question of whether Kansas would be a free or slave state. And of course, that's what precipitated the Civil War. This was all over Kansas statehood. And so when you look at this community and you see all of the important spirit that had to exist, I always tell people today, you can't have communication. You can't have a community without communication. And certainly to be able to have this rah-rah element going on where you have a central purpose that's being described on a constant basis. You constantly want to remind people of what it means to be a citizen of this community. And you want to be able to build this fervent anti-slavery attitude here. I think it's instructive, Dave, that one of the first three majors at Bluemont College was printing. Because you needed to be able to have printers available in this state to go out and fight the encroachment of slavery. And so printing came over here to K-State. That led to the establishment of a journalism curriculum in 1910. And we've been around literally since God was in diapers in that respect as a journalism school here. But I think it's really important to stop and think about what a community needs a newspaper for. It's not just a financial investment. When the presses roll down at the Manhattan Mercury tomorrow at 1:30 in the afternoon, there's so much riding on the line besides just getting a paper out and how many lines of advertising were sold. This is a central gathering force that this community has depended on since 1859. And it's that way in every town across Kansas. And by the way, when we're talking about this fervent fight against slavery, at one time, there were as many as 88 newspapers in the state of Kansas that were devoted to the subject of discussing the pros and cons of slavery. It's hard to describe, but it's I try to tell my students today, think about how fervently we feel about the issue of abortion, and stop and think about all the money that's been spent and all of the countless words that have been written about the evils of abortion, or about the importance of being able to maintain a pro-life stance. And it's true on both sides. And I think that's probably a pretty good analogy to the kind of fervency that we felt about slavery in this country. So to answer your question, this really was a big issue. And the Kansas newspapers have that today, I think, as part of their legacy in the strong traditions of community journalism in the state.
What about some of the other colleges, like the University of Kansas? Were they tied in also with a print newspaper that was tied to the abolitionist movement?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They had some of the. they have had some of the most well-known abolitionist editors in Lawrence. So those were the hotbeds: Manhattan, Lawrence, and Topeka, and other places were hotbeds that were really. And they would exchange columns, so you had an interaction between these newspapers quite often. One of the things you talked about that I thought was really interesting that is, I think, a really important part of what a newspaper does in a community is gives that shared culture of a community. that without a newspaper, I think you don't have a way to communicate that place, that sense of place in a cultural sense.
It kind of helps define the citizenship or what it means to be a citizenship of any place. One of the things I do on the first day of class in this big lecture course I teach, Dave, I will bring small town newspapers from around the state of Kansas, and I will read little items like, you know, the Smetherses visited the Collinses on Thursday evening and had dinner and a good time was had by all. We all know that cliche of local journalism, right? But I will go through and I will look at the news agendas, large and small, around the state of Kansas. And I always find this myopic information to share with students. And I'll say, okay, folks, is this news? Well, it might be to the people in those communities. And I say, that's precisely my point. And what we consider to be news here in Manhattan may not be news in Wamego. And it may not be news today in Junction City. We just don't know. But for us here, we understand because the newspaper is driving the local agenda in a community. I have some things to say about radio in a few minutes too, Dave, but I do think it's important that we've grown up with this historic relationship with the newspaper as a central focus of a community. It is indeed a community institution.
I know growing up in southern Dickinson County, we had the Hope Dispatch. And so much of it was like, the societal aspect about the visitations. And I think everybody enjoyed reading that because, you know, I don't think society had like the social gatherings that have developed over the years that what they had before. And, you know, so and today obviously is different. Maybe there's with today's COVID and everybody shut down and closed off, maybe we should return to some of those society pages.
You know, we love keeping our nose in everybody else's business, right? And everybody will always say, well, I read the local newspaper to catch up on the local gossip. Well, that's partially true. I did a experiment one time where I just had my kitchen remodeled and my neighbors came over for dinner. And so I wrote this little funny story on Facebook. You know, where I said the DeSantos visited my house and we had the very first meal in my brand new kitchen and Barbara made pork chops and I made Brookville Hotel coleslaw.
Oh.
And I said, a good time was had by all. And, you know, I got 78 likes on that.
Well,
we all love this.
Maybe now Facebook has replaced all that, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
We have a fascinating conversation. We're talking about print journalism primarily and the history. And we'll get a little bit more focused on some Riley County print as well as we continue our visit after the break. Cheryl Collins of the Riley County Museum and Historical Society and Dr. Stephen Smethers, director of the A.Q. Miller School of Journalism at Kansas State University, joining us on KMAN's In Focus. Back in a bit.